I'm pretty sure that most people at least have seen the Star Wars movies. I have seen all nine. I really like the original three. I enjoyed the prequels. I didn't enjoy the most recent three. But as you watch the Star Wars movies, what you begin to see is that there's a lot of subplots going on. You have a lot of evil characters that come into the picture. They're fighting against the good guys. But at the end of the day, you can be pretty confident that that bad guy is going to be defeated and the good guys are going to live to fight another day. So all these evil characters, they come and go. But there's one character throughout almost all nine of the movies that is different. He is part of the main plot. He is a master of manipulation, a master of deception. Often he's thought to be the good guy. And then as you go through, what you find out is that he's had his evil fingerprints on almost everything that's going wrong in the galaxy. His name is Palpatine. He ends up becoming the Emperor. But we find out that he's been evil all along. He's hiding in plain sight a lot of the time, and people don't realize it until it's too late. Well, the Bible is similar. It's full of a lot of subplots, a lot of stories that are going on. One of the subplots is the children of Israel, Israel versus Egypt, Israel versus the people of Canaan. You come to the New Testament, you've got Jesus, and he's fighting against the Pharisees. The Pharisees are trying to kill him. You go past Jesus after his death and resurrection. You've got the Christians, and they're dealing with those who are wanting to persecute them and are persecuting them. A lot of subplots going on in the Bible, but I want to suggest to you that there's a main plot going on in the Bible. And there's a main character that's evil in the Bible. And he is a master of manipulation. He's a master of deception. And often he dresses up his tactics as something good. And all too often we don't realize what's going on until it's too late. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, John tells us what this main plot and who the main enemy is in the Bible. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says this, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." There's our enemy, the devil. There's our main plot. Jesus appeared to destroy the works of the devil. I'm afraid, however, that we don't often look at it this way. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Screwtape Letters, said this, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them." And I think that's exactly right. And I'm afraid that in today's society, we tend towards the former. That what we do is we look at the devil more as the symbol of evil rather than a real face of evil, rather than a real entity. And this is exactly what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to view him as a legitimate threat. Because if we view him as a legitimate threat, then we're going to fight against him. We're going to do whatever we can to defeat him. So he doesn't want us to view him as a legitimate threat. He wants us to not believe in him. But he is real. And he is working in our world. The reality is our world today is filled with subplots. People fight over almost everything. People fight over political affiliations. People fight over what religion they're going to be a part of. People fight, I think about today in our society, we fight over whether or not we're going to wear a mask or not. We fight over almost everything. And one of the reasons that this happens is because people have forgotten or they have chosen not to acknowledge the fact who the real enemy is. And it's so sad that this is happening. And it's sad that this is happening even among brethren. And I got to tell you that there have been times in my life where I've struggled with this. I can look back at times in my life and see where I didn't view him as the real enemy. And I fought with somebody who was not my enemy. I can imagine that almost every one of us can look back into our lives and see times like that. This is an important point, I think, that we need to see. When we no longer see Satan as the real enemy, we make one another the enemy. When we no longer see Satan as the real enemy, we make one another the enemy. This is exactly what Satan wants. He wants our fight to be with one another, not with him. His desire is for us to lose our perspective on the importance of love. Last week we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul describes the characteristics of love for our brethren and how that is important. We can't let hatred and anger come in between us. But that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to take those characteristics of love and throw them out the window so that our fight becomes with one another and not with him. His desire is for us to turn on each other and to speak and act out of anger and hatred. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there's an interesting thing that's said here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 10, Paul is talking about forgiving a sinner. It's a relationship problem. And in verse 10, it says, "Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his design." Satan doesn't want us to forgive, and we cannot be ignorant of his plans. He is a real enemy. He has real plans, and we need to see them for what they are. We must understand that our fight is with Satan. It's not with each other. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul makes this very point. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Our fight is not with flesh and blood. It's with something more. It's with something spiritual. It's with the cosmic powers that are over all the darkness. It's with the forces of evil. So if Satan can get us to act and speak, and I think this is a crucial point that we need to understand. If Satan can get us to act and speak without love and without and out of hatred, he has won a victory in our hearts. And that terrifies me. And it should terrify you. If Satan can get us to act and speak without love, he has won a victory in our hearts. Again, it is so sad to see this happening even among God's children. In our world, too many have become divided, and when that happens, the devil has a foothold. And when he gets that foothold, he does not want to let go. The devil is our real enemy. He is real both in the sense that he exists. He's out there, often under our very noses, but he's there. And he's real in the sense that he is our enemy, not one another. And so we must bravely carry the fight against him. This material is really difficult. It's hard to wrestle with. And it's hard to hear. And so I wanted to end the lesson this morning with a message of hope and some ways that we can fight against the devil. First of all, the message of hope. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, remember, that's where John says that Jesus came into the world to destroy the devil. The reason he came was to destroy the devil and to save us. And so Jesus' death and his resurrection were the decisive victory in the war between God and Satan. It is a victory that the devil cannot come back from. This war is ultimately over. God has won. And therefore, it is all the more crucial that we give ourselves over to God so that we too can claim victory, so that we too can have confidence that our fight with the devil is ultimately over. That gives me a lot of hope. As sons and daughters of God, our fight with the devil is ultimately over if we hold the course and we align ourselves with God. Three lessons, 3 points that we can take with us in our fight against the devil. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Paul says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." The first lesson: let us put on the full armor of God in preparation for war. The reality of our life is we are in a war where everything for us hangs in the balance. And we need to prepare ourselves. And we do that by putting on the protective armor of God. Secondly, we need to stand. Paul says this several times. Stand, stand therefore. We need to stand firm on the truths of God's word. And as we've learned through the lesson today, we need to stand firm in our love for one another. That is a way that we combat the devil's schemes. And finally, we need to pray. I think it's kind of odd that Paul ends this section on putting on the armor of God in preparation for a battle. And then what he says is, first, let's pray. But I want to suggest to you that that is one of the most important things that we can do. Prayer is our first line of defense against the schemes of Satan. It's when we pray that we show that we are relying on God, that we're putting our trust in Him, that we believe that He can carry us through, that it is not our power that can help, but it is His. We need to pray. Thank you for your attention this morning. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to see the seriousness of your situation, and we want to help you realize that Jesus loves you, that we love you, and we want you to align yourself with Him so that you can be sure in your victory. Because losing in this war has eternal consequences. And if you are a Christian and you haven't been living your life in accordance with God's will, we want you to know that we love you and we want to help you however we can. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing together.